on basic math processing measures, on high-level math processing measures, boys and girls around the globe perform very similarly.
Somewhere along the line, though, despite their abilities to achieve, girls get turned off math.
I don't do math. It's a common phrase I'm sure a lot of us have heard, and maybe we're even guilty of having said it ourselves.
Why do girls do worse than boys in mathematics? New evidence suggests that the problem may start at home. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. In elementary school, girls and boys score the same in maths tests, but as they get older, a gap opens up. Now, if this is nurture at work, then what kind of nurture is it? A new discussion paper by CEPR fellow Paola Giuliano and her co-authors provides evidence that for some girls, one problem could be their parents. Paola joins me now from UCLA. Welcome to Vox Talks, Paola.
Hi, Tim.
Mathematics is well known for having this gender gap, isn't it? How big is the difference between boys and girls on maths test scores?
The gender gap in mathematics is roughly 2%. So this means that girls score in average 2% lower than boys. There are, however, very interesting differences. So if you look at correlations across countries, there is a quite pronounced correlations between the role of women in society, so the beliefs that women should, for example, stay at home rather than working, and the gender gap in mathematics. So this means that, for example, if you take a country like Turkey, where the beliefs about the role of women are fairly traditional, the gender gap in mathematics is much more pronounced, so it's in the range of 5 or 6%. And if you take, on the other hand, countries like the Northern European countries, which are much more gender equal, the gender gap in mathematics is much smaller. And for Iceland, is even reverse. So this means that in Iceland, girls do better in mathematics than boys.
And let's be definite with this right at the start. There is nothing about the female brain that would lead us to expect a difference in test results.
No, biologically based explanations would tell that, for example, boys have a stronger inclination for spatial tests, whether women should do better in verbal recall tests, but the differences are not very pronounced, and in general, they are not very much correlated with the performance in mathematics. So there is nothing in biology that tells that girls should do worse in mathematics.
So in that case, you have to look for social mechanisms, and there are a few that have been suggested over the years. What are the candidates here?
Broadly speaking, there are three main candidates. The first candidates would be, and this is what we study in our paper, the family. And the idea is that parents have strong beliefs about what boys and girls should do. So, for example, they might think that the role of a woman is to stay at home and take care of their children. They transmit these beliefs to their children, and then their children change their behavior accordingly. The second broad interpretation would be institutions, broadly defined. So, for example, it could be that gender differences originate in school. There is evidence that teachers tend to be biased. So it has been shown that teachers tend to grade more favorably tests of boys in mathematics compared to girls. And more broadly about institutions, there is evidence that institutions can change gender bias beliefs. For instance, if you look at ex-communist regime like East Germany that emphasized the importance of gender equality, in those countries, women tend to work more in the labor markets. Gender roles are less traditional. And the third broad explanations will be peer effect. For peer effect, the idea would be that it's not cool for a girl to do well in mathematics. And there is evidence on that, meaning if you look at data for co-ed schools, girls who go to co-ed schools, they tend to do better in mathematics, and they tend to choose after high school college fields such as mathematics or computer science or engineering.
The fact that this isn't settled means that it must be difficult in some way to find the reliable data that will clearly explain which mechanisms are working here. What's the problem?
There are a few challenges. One is to find data which contain information about the test score in mathematics and then beliefs about the role of women in societies. The second difficulty will mean that the sample size needs to be sufficiently big to have a statistical power. And then finally, it's very hard to find information for all the components of the family, meaning that, you know, I would like to know if we belong to the same family, the test score of both siblings, either they are all girls or they are in mixed families.
Now, as you say, you investigated how the family affects girls' test scores. Can you explain what you did? You had to look for families that had a preference for boys, didn't you? Where do you find those?
So we have two different set of evidence. So one part of our papers look at this incredible data set for Florida. We have data for all the public schools in Florida for roughly 10 years, from 2002 and 2011. And we merge this data with the birth certificate. And so this is very rare. So this is difficult to do. So on the one hand, we have all the test score in mathematics. And on the other hand, we also have the family composition. What this dataset misses are beliefs about the role of women in society. So we identify families with preferences for boys by looking at fertility patterns. The idea is if you take conditional of having a girl as a firstborn, a family with a preference for boys should have a higher fertility rate. So those parents, they keep on having kids until the boy is born. And so what we do, we classify family as a boy bias family, meaning families with a preference for boys, as those families in which there are all girls, but then the last born is a boy. And then we also identify the girl bias families, which are families where there are all boys and the last born is a girl.
Can you get a large enough sample size, even looking at the whole of Florida?
Yes, we do have a very large sample size. So the sample size is one of the biggest in this type of studies. So we have data for more than 100,000 kids, so which is pretty big.
And now looking at the maths test scores for the children in this sample, did girls in boy-biased families do worse?
Yes, we did find that girls in boy-biased family, they tend to do worse. On the other hand, we didn't find any difference for boys who are raised in girl-biased family.
You also tried another way to distinguish girl and boy-biased families, didn't you? How else did you investigate that data?
The critique that you could make to the Florida dataset is that the specific fertility pattern that we investigate are not necessarily an indication of preferences for boys. On the one hand, they could be simply random. And then on the other hand, it could be that parents just love varieties, so they like to have kids of different sex. So what we did, we look at a completely different data set. This data set is called the National Longitudinal Studies of Youth. It covers a much larger period of time. It goes from 1980s to 2014. And the beauty of this data set is that he has information about the gender attitude of the mothers. So there are three or four questions asking about the role of women in societies. The survey also collects information about the gender role bias of the kids or teenagers. And we do have some interesting evidence. First, we did find that there is a strong cultural transmission, meaning if a mother is gender biased, then children tend to be gender biased as well. And we also find that if the mother is gender biased, this has an effect on the performance in mathematics of girls, but does not have an effect on the performance in mathematics of boys. So we confirmed the finding of Florida for all the United States for a much longer period of time.
Clearly, the first step in closing this gap is to identify the reasons why it exists, and you've pinned down one of them very effectively here. But you can't just then go and say to parents, don't be biased. So is there some policy that might help this?
There could be several policy interventions that could be useful. The first one, since it has been shown that gender gap depends partially on the teacher, school could be equally important in shaping attitudes. The second type of intervention would be the importance of role models. There is a very interesting work done by Daniela Serra at SMU in Dallas, not necessarily for the gender gap in mathematics, but she shows that if a role model shows up the first day of an economics class, then girls, students tend to enroll more in economic classes later on. So role model could be equally important. And the last intervention would be in the labor market, meaning that if there are much more opportunities in the labor market for a typically male-dominated field, then probably the parents will be more inclined in changing their beliefs. In other words, it could simply be that parents have a rational response to discrimination in the labor market. So if I have a daughter and I live in a country where gender roles are very traditional, I would just tell my daughter, well, don't study mathematics, just study something else because nobody will hire you as an engineer. And so if things change globally, both in school and in society, maybe parents will be more inclined to change their beliefs as well.
Paola, you're a professor of economics now, so I'm guessing that you did pretty well on maths tests in school, but have you seen the effects of these assumptions in your friends or maybe the students that you teach?
On a very personal point of view, I grew up in a girl-biased family, so there were no boys in my family. And I am an economist and my sister is an engineer. But more seriously, I teach MBA students and I didn't check whether there is a gender gap in a score in economics, but there is a very interesting experiment done in a large business school in Southern California by Leonardo Bursin and co-author. And what they did is the following. They look at single MBA students versus married MBA students, and they did find that if you're an MBA student and you're single, you tend to avoid any type of career-enhancing actions that signal ambitions because this has a negative effect on the marriage market. So if you're single, you tend to avoid showing that you are very ambitious because nobody would like to marry a very ambitious woman. And if you think about it, it's very worrisome because MBA students, they should be among the most driven one in the overall population. And there is additional evidence along those lines. There is a paper by Marianne Bertrand, Emir Kameniza and Jessica Pan. They look at the probability of divorcing of those families where women make more money than men, and they did find that the probability of divorcing is much higher. So independently of the standard biases of the labor market, I think there are societal pressures that there are much more subtle.
Gosh, there has been a lot of discussion, hasn't there, in the last few years about the missing women in economics, which has statistically shows a huge gender bias. Can we speculate that the sort of effects that you've been investigating here may have some responsibility for that bias? So the sort of policy solutions that you propose might help to close that gap in economics as well?
I think the differences for the gender bias in economics are not that much related to the gender gap in maths. First of all, the gender gap is much larger than many other scientific fields. There are several reasons why there could be fewer women in economics. One is that the environment is particularly unpleasant for women. So, for example, seminars tend to be very aggressive. There is evidence of sexism. There is a very interesting paper that does a text analysis of a website called Job Market Rumors. So this is a website where students in economics anonymously report their comments about a variety of things, including professor in economics. And it has been found that when students refer to women, they use words such as nice and kind. And when they refer to men, it's mostly about being smart or being aggressive or being driven. There is also some evidence about different standards for tenure. So one study, for example, shows that if you take a course paper, if the assistant professor is a woman, then the narrative would be that she has been the research assistant for the senior author, whether an assistant professor who is a man is considered very smart because the more senior co-author decides to work with him. And similarly, there is some indications of publication biases, meaning that David Card and at Berkeley and co-author, they did find that if you look at papers published by women, they tend to have a much larger number of citations. So it means that the standards that are applied for women are tougher, essentially. So I think in economics, probably not too much about the gender gap in mathematics, I would say. It seems to be pointing towards more discriminations of an environment which is not very pleasant for women.
Clearly a lot of work to be done in economics yet.
Yeah.
Paola, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. It was a pleasure.
Here's a policy suggestion. If you know parents who tell their kids that girls can't do maths, have a policy to send them a copy of this paper. It's DP13504, Born in the Family, Preferences for Boys and the Gender Gap in Math. And authors are Gaia Dossi, David Filio, Paola Giuliano and Paola Sapienza. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. Every Friday, we cover early stage research in everything from cannabis to corruption. So if you want to know what the next big thing in economic research is going to be, subscribe to our podcast on your podcast platform. And if you want to know what the next big thing used to be, look up our archive at voxeu.org/vox-talks.